Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in, everyone, to another installment of The Orange and Blue View. I'm your host, Ron White. On that side of me, another face, not Dylan, but we have Mr. Lance Sanderson joining me this evening. Lance, it was so good to see you at the meet and greet, my man. How are you doing today on this Saturday?
Excited. I'm very excited. I haven't got a chance to sit down and do a podcast since about the middle of July. Been doing the recorded shows with Eric every now and again and just getting some content out there. But to sit down on a show, have a conversation, let's get some deep thoughts going in here. This is obviously the Orange and Blue View, but it is DVDD as well, guys. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Thanks for allowing me to jump on the show with you. And yeah, just looking forward to the conversation, man.
Yeah,
we got an issue with a Facebook group, though. Let me remove that really fast. I'll try it again, but go ahead and kick us off.
Yeah, sorry guys for the technical difficulties here. But while Lance gets that going, we'll just see who is all in the chat with us tonight. Want to say hey to some folks. We got Mike S coming in. Thank you, Mike. So good to see you in the chat, my man. He says, "What's up, Lance, Ron, and Broncos Country? What's up with you, Mike? Hopefully you are doing well. And if you got any comments, other comments in the chat, please put them in the chat tonight, Mike. Good to see you." And then we got Dominique Martin coming in. Shout out to my Broncos family. Can we pull it off on Sunday? MHH for life and per usual, go Broncos. Thank you, Dominique Martin, for coming in. And we will get to that answer. If the Broncos can pull it off or not tomorrow against the New York Jets. Let's see who else we have. And we were just talking about this, David Yonkin. Who's watching the Georgia and Alabama game tonight? Yeah, so Lance and I were talking about this in the room, and we will be tuning in for sure, you know, once we got it here. But yeah, that's going to be a fun, exciting matchup. Probably the marquee matchup here in college football here this weekend. So should be a good game.
I don't know what you're talking about. Wyoming versus Air Force is definitely the game that everybody wants to watch, man. Come on. Respect my cowpokes, all right? Let's go.
We'll get them some kudos as well.
No, we don't want to do that. They're going to get blown out by Air Force. It's awful. Wyoming's bad this year. They're really bad.
All right. Then we got Daniel Berry Sports Highlights saying, hey to you as well. Hopefully you are doing well, Daniel. All right, Lance, so let's get to the question that's centered around tonight's pod. Of course, the Broncos will be facing the New York Jets in week 4, and this matchup is going to be at MetLife Stadium. So can the Denver Broncos get to 500 tomorrow?
They can. I mean, this is the NFL and anything can happen. Are the odds definitely like forever in their favor? No, they're not. It's been an interesting week in Broncos country, especially for the team itself, obviously spending the week at the Greenbrier and the Hurricane Helene or whatever the hell it's called. Obviously wreaking havoc on a practice the other day. Like they stayed out on the East Coast to kind of stay acclimated to that way to ease up on some of the travel and stuff like that. But then it just turned into a metaphorical you-know-what show, and now it's actually not necessarily very good for them. They are in New Jersey now, so hopefully they got had a good time, a good vacation, got some good work in, and they're actually ready to go. But this is a tough test, man. Unlike Tampa Bay, they have a defensive line that can get after the quarterback. And obviously the Broncos, mm-hmm. they did really well with Quinn Meinerz. They did well with Ben Powers, staving off that Tampa Bay pass rush. But that was without Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey. This week they're going against Quinnen Williams, and he's arguably the best interior defensive lineman on the planet right now. And that's a big-time test for this offensive line and for Bo Nix in general.
Yeah, you mentioned a few key nuggets there. And the defensive line, this is a totally different animal when it comes to that defensive line. You know, I'm expecting to see more pressure, heavier pressure up front from them when it comes to getting with Nix. And they skill players as well on the Jets. Breece Hall obviously is one that comes to mind. You know, the Broncos are going to have a game plan to at least contain Breece Hall, because, you know, he's been having quite a season thus far. And obviously with Aaron Rodgers, you know, at quarterback, it's going to be a tougher test for sure. Now, can the Broncos do it? You're right. To your point, they can. I mean, anything's possible. And I'm encouraged by what I saw last week. Now, obviously, albeit Tampa Bay, and they were a little bit nicked up. But I like what I saw, you know, from a Broncos offense last week and on the Broncos defense side as well. It's just a matter of, can they sustain that momentum going into this week? And I like the fact that they did stay out on the East Coast, Lance, because they were able to continue, you know, forming that brotherhood. They were, you know, they were there together. There's not really much to do out there from what I've been hearing. So it kind of forced them to, you know, be together, form that brotherhood, and, you know, make sure they can kind of work on some of the X's and O's. But, you know, it's going to be a tough test. Can they? Yes. Will they? We will have to see. We will have to see.
Well, I think that let's just get into it, dude. Let's break down some of the keys to this game. And quite honestly, it starts off with number 12 on the other side of the field, or number 8, or whatever the hell number Aaron Rodgers is wearing. You have to figure out a way to contain him. And I'm saying keep him in the pocket and light him up. Because if there's one thing that Aaron Rodgers has proven over the last, well, about since 2015, when the Broncos beat his ass on the way to the Super Bowl, held him to 77 yards total passing. What did they do in that game specifically?
Pressure.
They got after him. He does not do well throwing the football under pressure. He does well against the blitz, but if you can get home, you can put some bodies on him, get him on the ground, make him dust himself off a few times, especially early on, and get underneath his skin a little bit. One of two things is going to happen. Either one, he's going to get pissed and he's going to start just dealing the football like crazy, or two, he's going to shell up. And shelling up at, 40 years old, I believe he is now, is definitely the way that this Broncos defense specifically needs to figure out a way to get after him, because that's the best way, is to containing Aaron Rodgers and not let him get comfortable with a quick passing game, and not let those weapons that you alluded to, not only Breece Hall, I mean, you got Garrett Wilson. Alan Lazard is a good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They still have Mike Williams as well, coming back off of I believe it was an Achilles. Or was it, I can't remember what his injury was from last season. But this is a big play catch receiver. Like, he's a difficult matchup. And it's going to be interesting to see how this defense aligns up against these receivers, because Garrett Wilson has speed to take it off over the top. Sertan doesn't necessarily do well with that. He needs to be able to get physical. And if they're going to allow a free release with Garrett Wilson against Pat Sertan, that could be a problem for this Broncos defense. Like, So again, just getting after Aaron Rodgers, jamming heavy at the line of scrimmage, being physical and out-physicaling a very physical football team in the New York Jets, that's key number one to me.
Yeah, and the opportunity is there for this Broncos defense to do this, just that, because they will be without, the Jets will be without Moses.
Yeah, Morgan Moses is hurt.
Moses won't be there. So that's prime opportunity for the Broncos to just get home and continually pressuring Aaron Rodgers. You bring up a good point there. I you're right. So I that was one of my keys as well, but I'm going to go with this running attack now on the Broncos side, of one of the keys to the Broncos defeating the Jets is to keep with the run, establish this run early and often. And now you do have Bidet. Let me make sure I get the name correct now. It's Bidet. He made sure that was announced correctly. You know, he's a different type of running back. And what I saw, that I think it was one of those last runs in the Tampa game, you just saw how he was able to run between the tackles. He can see the vision. So I think if the Broncos can continue to feed him, and then obviously you have McLaughlin there as well, who can find the edges and get out there for some of the short and quick passes out the backfield, I think this running game in tandem, in combination with the short, quick passing game, can also kind of help set up Knicks for success and kind of move the chains. But yeah, I do want this running game to keep going. I know in those first two games, and even portion of this last game, Lance, the running game did struggle quite a bit. But I think now with Bidet coming in, and then you also saw with Palcheski, which I actually like what I've seen from Palcheski, especially yep. last week. We can kind of get this running game going to where as though it could start to move the chains.
I think the addition of Tyler Bidet into the – and I think he should start. Quite honestly, I think he's shown enough. Yeah. I think he's shown enough that he should be yes. the lead back in this backfield right now. His vision is the best on this team without question. He mm-hmm. consistently makes plays every time he touches the football. And this is going back to the preseason games, specifically against the Green Bay Packers, where he was playing like a man with his hair on fire. He's quick. He's got great explosiveness, good contact balance, the vision, everything you want out of a runner between the tackles. He has that. And the thing is if you let him just keep on going and let him just get himself into a lather, he can get better. Because when you start to wear guys down, especially as I believe it's who was it? It was Rodney Garcia comes in here and saying CJ Mosley is doubtful, starting linebacker mm-hmm. for the New York Jets. This is a damn good football player that the Jets are going to be missing along that defensive front. Now, if you can get around Quinn and Williams and get into the second level, that's advantage Denver Broncos for sure, yes. because that speed, his ability to erase pursuit angles is something that is understated for what he brings to the fold. And I think that you saw it in the Tampa Bay game. He had that long 40-yard run. He erased multiple pursuit angles to get to the outside and eventually got chased down from behind. But, I mean, eventually you're running against 11 guys. Someone's going to be able to catch up to you. Just get him some space. Get him the ball into some space. Let him start to eat a little bit. Get him comfortable. Get him 12 to 15, 18 carries, and then maybe a couple of catches if you can. I want to see Tyler Bidet get 20 touches against the New York Jets this week, and that's a big key for this Broncos offense.
Yes, yes. Definitely. Yeah, I'm with you on, but Bidet should be starting. I mean, he's, again, from what I've seen, that the vision is there. Like, it's yep. just kind of just that one cut guy. Just can see it, go, and just take off.
Yep. Our guy, Eric, quite evident. Eric Trickle says he's the best back on this roster. Not just best vision. He says he's the best running back on this roster. I tend to agree with him.
And I agree. I do agree. From what I've seen, and again, guys, I was there in person at that Tampa Bay game last week. And what I saw, I would have to agree with you and Eric. I mean, what he was able to do, again, I just remember that last, I think one of those last runs when he went, 30, 40 yards down. I was like, man, this guy should definitely be starting. I said yep. that to my cousin that was sitting with me. I was like, this guy needs to be starting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's see who else we have. Got US Dave coming in. Thank you. He says, what are the Jets starting tackles health status for tomorrow? Have others stated they are hurting? Yeah. So, again, I did mention Morgan Moses out, right tackle. I think he has an issue with the knee. And I know there was an issue with Tyron Smith, but I believe he's a go.
I'm pulling it right now. Yes, he had a veteran rest day on Wednesday and Thursday. It was a full participant Friday. It looks like he's good to go.
Yep.
Morgan Moses is out. Yep. And I'm curious to see if it's going to be Carter Warren, but I think it's going to be their rookie first-round tackle from Penn State, Olu Fashanu. Yeah, he's going to probably see his first start, I believe, at the right tackle position. And that's going to be interesting, you know. And, again, getting back to getting after Aaron Rodgers, rookie right tackle, first NFL start. Let's see what you got, kid. And you're going to go up against a damn quality set of pass rushers here, because Jonathan Cooper, dude, I'm not sure if you've seen this. Jonathan Cooper is like third in the NFL in pass rush win rate right now.
Yes, I saw
it. Like this dude is incredible. He's playing and he's doing it with a relatively high double team rate as well. So he's getting a lot of pass rush productivity with a relatively high double team rate. So he's actually winning not only one-on-one situations, but he's just getting after the quarterback in general. So it's a very interesting case study with him. And quite honestly, I think they need to lock him up and get him on a decent deal earlier than later, because this is, I've said it multiple times on Dove Valley Deep Divers, guys, like this dude is, you know exactly what you're going to get from him. He's going to be a 6, 7, 8 sack a season kind of a guy at this level. He's the best edge defender against the run on this roster right now. And he's just extremely consistent. He's always out on the field. He's rarely injured, if ever, and I'm going to knock on wood on this one for sure. But Nick Benito can't play against the run very well. He's doing better, but it's still not as good as Jonathan Cooper. Jonah Ellis is not quite there as a rookie. The flashes are great. Baron Browning's injured, so you got to deal with that. Like, Jonathan Cooper is a dude that this team desperately needs to have for the continuity of this defense moving forward.
Yeah, Lance, and you said something there, and this question came up, I think it was a few pods ago, of out of Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper, who would I extend? And I said Jonathan Cooper.
Yep.
Because the availability, he's there, like he's not injured at all. And you love Baron Browning, you love what he can do, but injured, he stays injured right now, you know. And you're right, I did see that stat on the pass rush win weight. And yeah, what he's doing against some of these double teams, it's just incredible. So that's definitely one guy that I think the Broncos need to look at extending for sure. I think he's deserving of it. So want to grab David Yunkin. Says, I have one foot on the VJ bandwagon, not sold yet.
Yes.
You know, David,
I'm
right there with you, David. I'm actually, you know, right there with you, because I like what I've seen. Now, you know, this defense is, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but I know they're top three, top five in quite a bit of categories currently entering week four. So you have to be encouraged there. You know, what they're able to do, you know, against the run. Although sometimes, and this is kind of where I'm not so sold yet, David, I do see some leaks at times in that run defense. And I think that can get cleaned up. But, you know, you have to like so far what he's done with some of the pressures, Lance, you know, some of the disguises and such he's been able to bring. But, you know, I want to wait, you know, to David's point, I'm not sold yet. I want to wait to see kind of how the season progresses with some of these more challenging opponents coming up. You know, how does he adjust? But yeah, I, David, I'm right there with you. I'm not quite there with Vance yet. Like what I see, I'm not quite there yet.
I'm 100% there. Vance Joseph is not getting nearly enough credit as he should as the defensive coordinator of this team. You said you don't have the stats. I pulled them. This is per ESPN.com, guys. The Broncos defense is number 3 in yards allowed per game at 259.3. They are the second best passing defense in the NFL, only behind the Seattle Seahawks, who played the Denver Broncos in that horrible week one game where Bo Nix was definitely not great. And against the run, they're not great. And you're absolutely correct. They do need to get better against the run. They're allowing 126 yards per game right now, which is in the bottom third. It's actually, I think, 20th even in the NFL. But in points per game, they're still only allowing 15.3 points per game. That's number 6 in the NFL. They're doing it very well with the blitzing, but the coverage disguises that you're seeing, especially against Tampa Bay. They had Baker Mayfield in such a whirlwind without knowing what was going on with their man disguises that they were putting into zone coverage. The Brandon Jones interception was just a masterclass of how to disguise a defense. They had everybody playing press up on the front, 3 cornerbacks on 3 receivers. They rotated the safeties across. They dropped the safety back down. Brandon Jones made a hell of a play on the ball, took it back to the 8-yard line. The Broncos scored a touchdown on that. Like, Vance Joseph is doing things right now. And I think a big part of this is look at the addition of Jonathan Franklin Myers to this defense. Look at the addition of Malcolm Roach to this defense, specifically on what they're doing in their pass rush schemes right now. John Franklin Myers may not be getting the most stats of any player on this team right now, and it is a little bit disappointing. I was hoping to have some higher sack volume from him, some more pressure rate from him. But he's taking on multiple different assignments and pulling guys away from Zach Allen, who is absolutely going insane right now. That dude is I think he's number three in pressures across the NFL right now. Like this dude is absolutely playing like it's crazy to watch this defense. And it's all schematically designed by Vance Joseph. This team is playing so well defensively. And if the offense could actually figure out a way to score some points, they should be 3-0 right now. They really should. The Seattle game, the running issues that they had, that was gap alignment issues that we saw with Alex Singleton and Cody Barton. Because what Vance Joseph likes to do with his defenders up front, he wants them penetrating. He wants to play in a gap and a half or shooting gaps. There's not a whole lot of two gapping going on, which makes it a little bit harder for your linebackers to get their reads the right way. And you're seeing guys play about a half a gap out of alignment, which allows some missed tackles at the second level. Kenneth Walker misses it in the Seattle game. Alex Singleton misses a tackle, goes for a touchdown. Geno Smith steps up into the pass rush, 37-yard touchdown run. Like, there's issues schematically with what VJ is doing against the run, but it's also players are not doing what they need to do and being accountable in their assignments. And that's causing more of the issues than Vance Joseph himself.
Yep. For sure. Definitely. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, David, for that comment. I think we slightly disagree there, Lance. I know. Again, I like what VJ has done so far. I mean, I think he's part of the reason, that the Denver defense is doing well. But I do like – I've always been a fan of the Malcolm Roach and the John Franklin Myers signings. Mm-hmm. I going into the season, I thought those two would have definitely had an instant impact. And you're seeing that right now. I mean, every time you hear, like, the opposing offenses, they lose yardage or, stuffed. John Franklin Myers' name always comes up. He's always in a play. I'm so glad that the players are executing as they are, right now. But it's just kind of one of those things we want to see it, kind of move on through the season. Let's see who else we have. Thank you. Eric Flynn coming in with some Facebook stars. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
We appreciate it, my man. If you got any comments, please feel free to drop them in the chat.
I got one I want to grab really fast. Yep. I need to pull some information really quick. That'll have to do. It's from Rodney Garcia, and he's talking about, he was watching Pat Surtain versus George Pickens highlights earlier, and Pickens honestly won that battle. And that's, I kind of alluded to it a little bit in terms of, this was an interesting conversation I'd heard on the radio. The players that PS2 kind of struggles with when playing cornerback are bigger body guys that do well in contested catch situations. And I know that Surtain is a great player and he does a really good job knocking the football away, but look at like Davante Adams, like a guy like that, bigger body possession receiver, can make some big time grabs and stuff like that. George Pickens is another guy like that. I mean, he's 6'3", 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. I talked about Mike Williams specifically, the 8-year veteran wide receiver, formerly the Los Angeles Chargers, 6'4", 218 is what he's listed as on the New York Jets website. That's a matchup that has my interest right now, is what is PS2 going to do against Mike Williams when you have that opportunity? Because that's the archetype of a receiver that PS2 has generally struggled against going against one-on-one coverage. So that's a big highlight. It's a big matchup to watch. And Rodney, this is an acute observation. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Rodney, for coming in with that comment. And yeah, that was one of Surtain's games where he did struggle a bit, with Pickens. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You mentioned Mike Williams. That might be a little bit of a taller task. I'm not too worried if he's on Garrett Wilson, but I think with Mike Williams, it's going to be a little bit more challenging. But we'll see how that shakes out tomorrow. All righty. Let's see who else we have coming in the chat. Got DeAndre Witherspoon. Thank you, DeAndre, for coming in. We appreciate it. Says, got to be better at stopping the run. And the Broncos defense have to be physical and match the Jets' intensity. Yeah, that's a good point, DeAndre. And that's kind of what I've been seeing here all along is the Broncos have to be a little bit better at stopping the run. Again, I'm all on somewhat on that VJ bandwagon, but let's see with this game and some of these other matchups how the Broncos adjust with stopping the run. You know, the Ravens are on the schedule. So, you know, that's going to be a tough test a little bit later on down the line. And we know with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry that's one of the things they love to do. So that's kind of where I'm alluding to, DeAndre. But yeah, if the Broncos can match that intensity, if they can, you know, as I mentioned, stuff Breece Hall, be more physical at the line of scrimmage. On both sides, I do think the Broncos have a chance to win this game.
I'm right there with you. And going back to Breece Hall really fast, this is honestly, it's a pretty stunning deal here. In the two games that Breece Hall has played against the Denver Broncos, he has 26 carries for 249 yards and two rushing touchdowns. This includes the game where he tore his ACL a couple of years ago. Yep. Yeah. He tore his ACL a couple of years ago. And now I got to get back to the right screen here. But you're talking about a player that has really good vision, but home run hitting ability. He had a long touchdown run against the Broncos a couple of seasons ago. And he's so difficult to defend because not only is he fast moving forward, he's quick side to side. He's got some jitterbug to him. He's got a good jump cut. He's got a spin move that he throws every now and again. Like, Breece Hall is a dynamic playmaker, and if you're going to allow him to get into open space, it's going to be something my high school football coach always told us when we get big long runs. It turns the game into a track meet and a band concert. Because all you're doing is running forever and ever and ever, and the band starts playing the fight song at the end of it. Like, seriously, you got to figure out a way to contain Breece Hall, man. It's a big, big time key for this team.
Yes, that's I think that's the key, guys, is containing Breece Hall, stopping that run. You know, not letting him get too wild. All righty, let's see here. Again, guys, no Scott tonight, so.
We got a super chat jumping in here really fast.
Oh, got Michael Davis. Thank you. Yes, we played Mayfield, Fields, and Smith. We're playing a Hall of Famer tomorrow, trying to keep perspective, win or loss. I'm focusing on Bowles' progression. And Mike, that this is a great point, and I think this is kind of where we all should focus now.
Yep.
You know, I think going into the season that, you know, playoffs, not. I've been the type to say, hey, I don't really care if the Broncos make the playoffs or not this year. I'm more concerned about finding out if Bo Nix is the guy moving forward. And you want to see that progression. You want to see steps forward from Bo Nix each game. And Lance, you could say, you can make an argument that this game this past weekend was probably his best.
Yeah, absolutely was.
By far. You know, I saw it live, so I just saw him going through the progressions. I love how they're using more of those design runs, Lance, mm-hmm. as well, kind of helping him because he's quick on the feet. So I do like his progression so far. But yeah, Mike, you know, I just want to see him going forward, you know, going through his reads, kind of seeing the field at the line of scrimmage, making the checks, making the calls. When nothing's there, either throw it away or take off. So I just kind of want to see that rhythm and see how he can kind of adjust to the NFL speed moving forward. And you have to love what you've seen, especially from this last game.
Yeah. I think the big thing here, let's get into my second biggest key here, is putting Bo Nix in a position to succeed. And I know it's like the most obvious coaching trope that you can. We want to do what's best for our players, yada, yada, yada. And well, we need to see it more consistently, Sean Payton, please. Please, yeah. What you did last week against Tampa Bay, where you actually started to utilize Bo Nix and his running ability. I think that this is something that the Broncos really need to focus on, especially this week, because Jermaine Johnson, the Jets' former first-round pick, their edge defender, is a damn fine football player, popped an Achilles a couple weeks ago. He's not going to play. I don't know what their depth chart looks like. I'm pulling it up right now, but let's get this second string edge rusher. I think it's Eric Watts is going to be the guy going out there. So put him in conflict. One of the best parts about it, remember like the Tim Tebow days where they ran a lot of the zone read option and stuff like that. Yeah. They were getting an edge defender, whether it was a defensive end or an outside linebacker, they were getting them to crash inside, and Tim Tebow would take the ball and he'd run off the end.
And run off. Yeah.
The Broncos did that last week with Bo Nix a couple of different times. And you can build upon that. Like, that's something that Bo Nix does really well. He's got the athleticism to run. And he also does well throwing on the run. So let's see this read option game, get these edge defenders pinching down inside, get Bo Nix on the outside and run a deep over route. Let Bo Nix just huck one down the field for one time. See if you can't get a big time connection to Cortland Sutton in a contested catch situation. Like, let's put Bo Nix in a bubble, essentially. Play call around what he is currently seeing, because this defense, obviously Seattle and what they do disguising coverages and stuff like that, it's a very difficult defense to play against. And Mike McDonald, give kudos to that dude for designing it. It's a lot like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense of like the late 90s, where they did a lot of zone blitzing and pulling defensive linemen off the line of scrimmage and dropping them into coverage and stuff like that. This defense that he's going against right now with Robert Saleh is very well schemed. It's designed incredibly well, and they have a gigantic amount of talent, whether it's Quinnen Williams, whether it's Sauce Gardner, whether it – well, C.J. Mosley's not going to play, but you've got the other cornerback, D.J. Reed. Tony Adams is a damn good safety. Chuck Clark is a good safety. They got Javon Kinlaw as another interior pass rusher for this defense. Like, you've got to play into the strengths that Bo Nix has and get this defense off guard and put Bo in a position to succeed by utilizing his legs and utilizing his ability to throw on the run. And I think you'll have some success.
Yes. Yes, for sure. For sure.
Thank you, Michael, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for that. We appreciate it. All righty. Let's see who else we have. Just perusing the chat here, guys.
Here's a good one. This one from D-West coming in saying, I want to see Malcolm Roach starting over DJ Jones. Yes. We're starting to see a little bit more of that in the rotation, where Roach is starting to really have a more impactful effect on the game. But DJ Jones played arguably his best game as a Denver Bronco against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is going back to the San Francisco game a handful of years ago at the Mile High Huddle meet and greet. It was a Monday night football game. DJ Jones absolutely dominated against the 49ers in that game. What he did against Tampa Bay cannot be overstated nearly enough. In fact, I don't think he's getting enough appreciation. This dude can still play some football, man.
I agree. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you as well. Yeah, DJ Jones did look good, but I think I've been more impressed kind of what Malcolm Roach was brought in here to do. He's doing well at it. And I definitely want to see Roach kind of get the start. But we'll see what happens there. But yeah, thank you for coming in, D-West. We appreciate it. And we got Lawrence Rivera coming in. I want to grab this super chat here from Lawrence. Thank you. He says, in this game, we need Bo to start to show his relationship is improving with his wide receivers enough to be able to throw up Hail Marys.
Okay. It's an interesting take, but okay. Let's break it down.
Yeah, I mean, the Hail Marys aside, Lawrence, I just kind of want to get onto the portion where you said just improving the relationship with the wide receivers. I think you're somewhat starting to see that now in this Tampa game. I think it was maybe the second drive, Lance. I can't remember, but he threw that dart to Cortland Sutton. I think it was on the sideline. I think on the left hand sideline.
Yeah, that was the first throw of the game.
Yeah. Oh, that was the first. Okay.
First throw of the game. Yep.
And then that little lob over to Reynolds. So I'm seeing some trust with the receivers. And you see a little bit of improvement there, because Lance, that first game, there was no trust. There was no relationship because the receivers were dropping a lot of passes. Like some of the passes Bo Nix threw against the Seattle Seahawks, there were catchable balls.
Oh, yeah.
And Sutton and Reynolds just dropped them. But you now are starting to see, again, at least from the Tampa game, that that relationship is starting to improve, at least with, I can only speak to Sutton and Reynolds. Now, we kind of have to see more Franklin and Mims out on the field, you know, in order to make that same assessment when it comes to those relationships. But I think once you can kind of start to see that form with Reynolds and Sutton, then maybe, you know, the arm strength will come through the Hail Marys. But we know Bo's arm strength. I mean, we saw some of that kind of come up during that first week. Yeah, I think it's already starting to improve. He just has to continue to improve that with the wide receivers moving forward.
So I think the big thing here is you got to see your wide receiver start to make some plays for him, man. Like every now and again, you need a playmaker to actually make a play for you. It, not only just the drops, but somebody slip a tackle for once. Can we start yak. To see a guy get some yards after the catch? Exactly. Get some yak going here. That's a frustrating issue right now. And it's not necessarily a problem with the Sean Payton schematic design. I think that there are plays to be made out there. You got to understand exactly what's going on here, though. Like, again, go back to the Seattle Seahawks. That defense was so crazy to watch, like just what they were doing schematically. Then Pittsburgh, they play it more straight up, but they've got a ton of talent too. You can't take anything away from Joey Porter Jr. and TJ Watt and Cameron Hayward. Like those guys are, they're playmakers in their own right. They went out there and made plays, and Bo just wasn't able to do it. You also had Greg Dulcich dropping a bunch of footballs against the Pittsburgh Steelers too. In Tampa Bay, you saw a little bit of those guys going and making plays, specifically Tyler Bidet. But in the passing game, you need a guy every now and again to make a tough contested catch, to go out there and catch the routine ball, slip a tackle, and make a big explosive run after the catch. Like, it's not necessarily the relationship improving with his wide receivers. Let's see his wide receivers help him out a little bit and bail him out of a difficult situation. And against this Jets defense, they're going to have to do that because he can't do it all himself this week. There's no way that he's going to have let me rephrase that. It's not no way that he's going to be able to win this game by himself, but it's going to be incredibly difficult for him to do so. Like, you got to get somebody to go and just make a play. And right now, the Broncos don't have a guy like that because they don't trust Marvin Mims to see him out on the field enough outside of punt return, which every time he catches a freaking punt, he takes it for 15 yards. So why not put the ball in his hands? And Greg Dulcich is struggling with the drops, and he can't stay on the field consistently either. So you're really depending on Josh Reynolds, who's never been the guy, Cortland Sutton, who's never been a big yards after the catch receiver, and hopefully you get Devon Vele back, but that's not his game either. It's like, You're spinning your wheels here, stuck in the mud, and all it takes is just one spark to get everything going and get this offense on track. And you can see the baseline of what is happening with Bo Nix is good enough to win you some football games this season.
Definitely. Yeah, it's that whole trope coming in now about this. The Broncos just don't have any playmakers. You just need you need that one guy that you can just put the football in his hands and he goes make a play. And I know Zach, you know, Kelvin and I were talking about it at the meet and greet that, you know, even doesn't have to be necessarily even a wide receiver, but even someone like a Christian McCaffrey, you know, like you could just put the ball in their hand and tell them, dude, go make a play, go win us the game. And you on this roster, that's just not there. So I think that's something that needs to be, you know, maybe we'll see, I doubt it, Lance, but maybe Mims, Franklin kind of come around. I'm still hesitant there, but I think in this upcoming draft, the Broncos really need to look at playmakers, speed, someone who can kind of help out this offense quite a bit.
I haven't gotten a chance with this new job, guys. First off, I'm ecstatic to be here. This is so much fun, and I'm sorry if I'm dominating the conversation here, but I haven't got a chance to really check out a lot of the college football playmakers. I know Teterola McMillan from Arizona looks like the top receiver in this class, unless you want like Travis Hunter, who drip. Good Lord, that dude make you go 6 to noon real quick. But you're right, though, dude. They need explosive playmaking potential. They have it, and potential is a word that will get coaches fired a lot of the time. you've got Marvin Mims, you've got Troy Franklin, Greg Dulcich has they have that explosive playmaking ability. You got to put the football on their hands to allow them the opportunity to make those plays for you, and that's Sean Payton butting his head against the wall. One, not trusting his guys, and two, they're not developing the right way. So there's got to be some give and take here a little bit, but. Yeah. Explosive playmaking potential has to be one of the top priorities in this upcoming offseason. I know we're week four right now, so we want to see how this plays out. But as the Broncos are at the top of the draft class, McMillan or Travis Hunter are high on my list of priorities.
For sure. Yes, definitely McMillan out of Arizona. Man, that guy, he's instantly becoming one of my favorites. Yeah, he's
incredible.
He's awesome. He's just so fun to watch. He's really fun to watch.
Big body dude. He's what, 6'4", I think. And it's just,
yes.
I know I said I haven't watched enough of him yet, but what I have seen reminds me of a certain dude that wore 88 in Denver for about 10 years.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Uh-huh. He kind of gives me those vibes as well. I saw a few clips.
Yeah, he looks like DT, guys. He looks like DT.
He's DT-like for sure. He's DT-like. But thank you, Lawrence, for coming in. We appreciate it. Let's see, how are we doing on time? Okay, we're at 40 minutes. All right, we got a little bit more time. I think, Lawrence, you're back with another. Thank you again for coming back in, my guy. We appreciate it. It says, and we are on track for the worst defensive game ever with Aaron Rodgers and our best defensive player out for the season. So, Lawrence, I'm not sure.
I was going to say, Pat Surtain still exists, guys.
Yeah. Sertan's still there, and you know, there's still Zach Allen, there's still John Franklin Myers, there's still Jonathan Cooper.
I appreciate the point here, and I mean, it is a good take to tell you the truth. It's on track for a tough game, and we've kind of got it. And I know Michael David came in and he said he was more questioning with his super chat, saying that he was more about the defense going against Aaron Rodgers, a future Hall of Famer. And I understand it. I definitely get the concerns here, and the matchup problems that this offense gives to you, not only with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, again, Breece Hall, I can't sing the praises enough of him. Braylon Allen, their rookie running back out of Wisconsin, is a monster. He's huge, 235 pounds. The guy's a bowling ball. He's incredibly difficult to tackle. Garrett Wilson scares the hell out of me. And quite honestly, I don't want to see Pat Surtain going up against him. I'd rather see Jaquan McMillan go against him, because I think the athletic matchup there is probably in McMillan's favor.
Yeah,
that like I like Garrett Wilson a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I think that if you're trying to put Surtain on him to lock him down, that's probably a recipe for disaster, given the speed and electric agility that Garrett Wilson brings to the fold. It's going to be very difficult, and losing out on Alex Singleton, that's a huge loss for this team. I mean, he led the team in tackles. He's a top three tackler across the NFL in the last three seasons. The dude's amazing. But I also think that the Broncos can scheme this up the right way. And with Vance Joseph, with Vance Joseph, he's in his bag right now. Like, he is literally doing a lot of really good things that can give Aaron Rodgers a lot of fits, especially with the blitz packages, the pressure packages that he's bringing. Like, if you get Aaron Rodgers on the ground enough times, he can't beat you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where you took the words out of my mouth, Lance. There's no replacement for Singleton. I think we all understand that it is a big loss. You know, what he was able to do at inside linebacker, I mean, it's going to be missed. But I think with the pressure packages, the blitz on the D-line, I think that's good enough, you know, for, you know, the Broncos to get constant pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And I don't see this being, even with these, you know, this new look defense without Alex Singleton, I don't think it's going to be the worst. I think that's kind of where I take an issue, Lawrence, of the worst defensive game. I still think there's a good bit of players on defense from the Broncos to still be a good defense to match up well with the Jets offense. So yeah, it does suck. Alex Singleton out for the season, but I do think the Broncos would be just fine. It'd be okay.
I think that they did a good job going out and kind of addressing the position. You know, they went out and they got Zach Cunningham and Quan Alexander. And Alexander's definitely not the player that he was a handful of years ago. Neither is Zach Cunningham. Neither one of those guys are elite coverage defenders at this point of their career. Alexander was really good there 5 years ago. If this was 5 years ago and the Broncos got Quan Alexander and Zach Cunningham, I'm doing backflips right now. Like, those are quality football players. You're going to miss out a lot with Alex Singleton not being on the field, especially as a defensive leader. There's a lot of players that really respect Alex Singleton in that locker room, but Cunningham does a lot of the same things that Singleton does well as well. Like, he's a C-ball, chase ball linebacker, go make a play. Sure, it's going to be 5 yards down the field, which is my biggest issue with Alex Singleton, is he's not a run-stop guy. He's a stop-play guy, and that's not a bad thing, but it's also not a good thing. Like, Cunningham's going to replace that. Quan Alexander, he can replace that. What you don't replace, though, is the leadership out on the football field. Those guys just stepping in right now, that makes it really difficult for the defense. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, for sure. So, yeah, but yeah, I see what you're saying, Lawrence, on this. Again, thank you for coming in. You know, we always appreciate you, my guy. And again, what you're saying is not being going without, you know, consideration. We're mindful that it's going to be a tough defensive game for sure without Alex Singleton. We get that. But I just think the Broncos have enough to match up and can definitely give Aaron Rodgers fits, even with this D-line. So,
yeah.
All right, let's see. We got Casey Nickel coming in. Thank you. We appreciate you, my guy. He says, book it. This game comes down to a fumble by the Jets. Broncos win 27-25. Bo Nix hits not one, but two passing touchdowns. Wonder if one of them is on Sauce Gardner. I can feel it. We are going to see some magical moments. Okay, Casey. Okay, good. I like where you're going. I like your optimism. Love your prediction. You know, fumble could happen. Hell, anything can happen. But it would be nice. I'll say this, Lance. It'll be nice for Bo Nix to finally, you know, pass for a few touchdowns. Just one even, but to pass for a few to get
just one.
Just get one. Get his one touchdown. I just think it'll be good, right? It'll definitely build his confidence for sure. But yeah, it'll be great. But yeah, thank you, Casey, for coming in. We're all hoping for a Broncos victory, but we will see tomorrow at 11 Mountain Time what happens at the start of it.
Not one, but two passing touchdowns. I you know, if it wasn't the Jets this week, I could be right behind it, because it's impossible as an NFL quarterback to not throw for a passing touchdowns in four games. I don't give a damn if you're a rookie or not. Like, we got to get off the schneid here. I'm still optimistic that it could happen, though. And a big reason why is you had the struggles against the Seahawks. Obviously, the Steelers game was a disaster. But coming right out of that, you say, and this is kudos to Sean Payton here, you say against Tampa Bay, we're on the road. It's hot. It's a terrible environment. We know that the defense is down bad for Tampa Bay. To hell with it. Give me the football. I'm going to put the ball in Bo Nix's hands. We're going to march down the field. We're going to go score a touchdown. I hope they do the same thing. I really do. I really hope they do the exact same thing against this Jets team, because first off, they need to score first. They need to make Aaron Rodgers as like retaliatory and get this game script off right. Scoring first always is a good thing at the NFL level. It's good in football, just period. You could be playing Pop Warner. Scoring first sets the tone of the game. We're here for business. Let's go. You got to do that against this Jets team too, though. You got to scheme it up. You got to put Bo Nix in the right situations. And maybe, yeah, we can get one passing touchdown, maybe even two. Maybe you can go into MetLife and stun the Jets, who are a heavy favorite. I mean, 7.5-point underdogs, mm-hmm. The Broncos are right now. And there's someone in here, I can't find the comment right now, saying that he's got the Broncos to cover. I don't. I think that the Broncos are probably going to lose this game. And that's unfortunate. But the analyst in me, and just taking in all of the exceptions to the rule of what this game is kind of building up to be. Like, it's an East Coast game at 11 o'clock. The Broncos are terrible in those games since Peyton Manning left. You're going into MetLife Stadium against a Hall of Fame quarterback in a top five defense. You've got an offensive line that's still trying to figure it out up front right now. A rookie quarterback, a defense that's playing well against the pass, but not so great against when you start to add all this stuff up in your mind, it doesn't seem like there's a great pathway for the Broncos to go out and get a victory, like an easy victory. But if you get a fumble by the Jets, a late interception by Aaron Rodgers, you know, you maybe get a special teams touchdown in there. Denver absolutely can win this game. Again, this is the NFL, guys. Crazier stuff has happened. Being real here, though, and just being what I am as an analyst, I got to say, one passing touchdown would be nice. Two is probably impossible, and the Broncos are probably going to lose 26-12.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why you love Lance, kind of where the special teams and the defense are right now at this point. You know, those safeties in the in the Seahawks game.
Yeah.
Right. You know, defense is top five. So I think some of these things can, you know, if they can have these things go their way and get some points off of them, then yeah, Casey, there definitely is a chance. But I want to get to a comment. I think Crumble Cookies comes in here. Thank you. And I want to highlight this too, because some context with the Jets, you know, it does matter. People are massively overrating the Jets. They beat the Patriots and the Titans, who have a combined 1-5 record. So yeah, that is true here, Crumble. You know, you have to look at kind of their opponent so far, but I wouldn't say the Jets are too overrated, because they do have a good offense. I mean, you have potential Hall of Famer quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And then Breece Hall, we just read off some stats, you know, with Breece Hall. Garrett Wilson's a top receiver. We mentioned Mike Williams, Lazard. So they have quite a few pieces there on offense to give defenses some challenges. But I still think with that, the Broncos could definitely be in this game, even late. Yeah. You know, it may come down to, you know, last second field goal by the Jets, right? Or maybe something goes the Jets' way, you know, scores tied, something like that. But, you know, context here matters. And I just kind of wanted to highlight that out of saying, hey, the Jets are, you know, 2-1, but kind of look at who, you know, who they played. And remember, I'm opening night, opening weekend, when the 49ers beat them, you know, right. So, you know, kind of made them, you know, well, I know it was the first game of the season, but kind of made them kind of look ordinary at best, right. But yeah.
My counterpoint to this, and I'm not trying to be snarky or anything on this, and Crumble Cookies, thank you for jumping in the show. This is the first time I've seen your name on one of the shows. So if you've been on before, thanks for returning. If not, welcome in, and hopefully you enjoy everything you see here at Mile High Huddle on the on our YouTube page and at milehighhuddle.com. But you say that they beat the Patriots and the Titans. The Patriots are probably the worst team in football. I agree with you on that one. The Titans aren't far behind them. They have a combined record of 1-5. So I guess my question comes here to flip this argument on its head is, are people underrating the Broncos because they beat the Buccaneers, who are 2-1, and they've lost to the Seahawks and the Patriots, who are both 3-0. Like, what? I'm not saying you don't have a point, but it's not necessarily a salient one. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm not trying to be snarky, but like, the Broncos, as it stands right now, have played the toughest schedule in the NFL, because you got two 3-0 teams and a 2-1 team who was undefeated before the Broncos beat them. Is that to say that we're underrating the Broncos? No, it's saying what the Broncos are right now. The Jets, what they are a 2-1 football team with one of the best quarterbacks that's ever walked.
And then those were some tough defenses as well, Lance. You have to look those were, yeah, Steelers and, like I said, McDonald's defense, they played a perfectly called defensive game.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Like everything, as soon as the receivers caught the ball, tackle. Yep. You know, so they were on them. So, yeah, I guess, like, all context matters, but I just think, go ahead again.
I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I don't see how that point necessarily matters in the long run of things here, because when it comes down to maybe let's say if this game was not week 4, if it was week 10, and you had something like that where you could say, well, yeah, they beat the Patriots, the Jets, Carolina, Denver, or whoever their schedule plays, and they're like, yeah, their combined record is 3-18, or 3-30. Like, then sure, I can absolutely get on board with this. Yeah, the Jets are 8-0 right now, but their combined opponents are sitting right now at 3 wins with 35 losses. Then sure, I'm there. this is still too early in the season for that particular number to mean much to me in the evaluation of what the teams are as they currently stand and how the season has unfolded to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it just kind of depends on how you're looking at it, context.
Yeah. And all context matters too. I'm not trying to be a jerk or nothing. I'm not trying to scare anybody away. Welcome in, please. Yeah. I want it to be that's a relevant stat. It's definitely relative, but I want it to be more meaningful, at least to future games and what this team is and how this season has played out than it is as of right now. I mean, hell, the Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3 right now. Right? Mm-hmm. They lost to that Patriots team in week one. They got hosed against the Chiefs in week two. And then, you know, they're 0-3. Are we overrating the Bengals with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and freaking T. Higgins and like that deep Trey Henderson right now is highest pass rush run rate, highest double team rate in the NFL. That dude is freaking insane. Mm-hmm. Are we overrating the Bengals because they're 0-3 right now? No, absolutely
and
not.
And same, I mean, that could go for a few other teams, right? Are we overrating Ravens? Yeah. Ravens who are 1-2 right now. You know?
No. You lost to Kansas City in week one. You know? And
right. So,
like, yeah. You know.
So, kind of, okay, you know.
Sorry for being a jerk. If I was a jerk, no, you took that point. Like,
you're good. And I think Crumble Cookie was kind of, you know, this is kind of what he was. Want to elaborate here further. I'm not saying they're a bad team. It's just people are really jumping on the Jets bandwagon right now.
And that's a good point. Crumble, I will agree with you on that one. That's absolutely fair.
That's what he's saying. Yep.
Yep. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah. So again, I think that's where I was headed, Crumble, of we haven't really seen, I mean, have we seen the Jets really get kind of tested yet? Like everyone's jumping because they have, right. We know why they're jumping on the bandwagon. They have Aaron Rodgers, right? He's healthy now, and they have a good number of skill players. So I get what you're saying. I think that's, we'll just see how the matchup happens tomorrow. You know, if the Broncos come out and win, then what do you say? You know, it's you know, so I think that's kind of where you're heading. I see what you're saying there now that you've kind of clarified it for us.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. Like I said, welcome in. Love you. Appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, Lance, we are at 56 minutes, so it's time for us to start winding. And now with us winding, let me get into the injuries quickly, and then you and I talk about the score predictions.
Okay.
All right, so injuries, we kind of covered this already, but just for people who joined us late, the only injury for the Denver Broncos will be JL Skinner, so he is out tomorrow. And then for the Jets, Morgan Moses, the right tackle, is out. And then CJ Mosley, the linebacker, is doubtful for tomorrow. I believe Tyron Smith will play tomorrow. So, quickly for the injuries. Thank you. With that, Lance, I'll let you go first. Who do you have winning the game tomorrow between the Broncos and the Jets?
Well, first things first, let me plug our the roundtable predictions. Go to milehighhuddle.com. You guys can see everybody's score predictions. The entire staff has them in there. Go check that out. It's always a fun read to see just the thoughts, the opinions, and sometimes the score predictions are a little bit out there. But for me, I do have the Jets winning this football game 26-12. I fear for the Broncos right now offensively with Bo Nix going against Robert Saleh, who is a very good defensive mind. I do think that you're probably going to see a turnover, maybe two, from the Broncos offense, which sets up Aaron Rodgers in scoring position to make this game kind of easy. The Broncos' deficiencies against the running game with Breece Hall, Braylon Allen coming at him. Again, you got thunder and lightning. Like this running game is going to be very good from the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. 26-12 for me. But I will say, like I did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game on our roundtable for last week, it would not surprise me to see this team show up and just stun somebody and maybe steal one from the Jets because, again, go back to Crumble Cookie. They've played a weak schedule right now. They really haven't been battle tested, and this is easily the best defense that they're going to go up against in this first 4-week stretch. It could get Western out there on the East Coast.
On the East Coast, yes, definitely. So yeah, I think as far as my prediction is concerned, it was very So it's very encouraging watching the Broncos last week, you know, on both sides of the ball. The offense seemed to have made some strides forward. You know, again, as I mentioned earlier, I like that Sean Payton used more design runs. The switch to Bidet was nice as well. But I just think, you know, the Jets are, again, we just talked about who they played. And again, the Jets aren't world beaters, but they do have a lot of great players at some of those key positions.
Yeah.
And I expect the Jets defense, you know, minus CJ Mosley, to still be stout. I expect Salah to have a good defensive plan. While the Broncos are still trying to figure out things on offense plans, I feel as though the offense still hasn't figured out yet for the Broncos. So with that, I think they'll try to limit Rodgers and Breece Hall, but I think both of them will still be productive enough to lead their Jets team to a victory. So with that, I have Jets at 20, Broncos at 17. I do think the Broncos defense will keep them in the game because we already went through how they're ranked. They're up there. They're top. But I just think, you know, the Jets have enough firepower and offense to really do some things. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, before we get out of here, I want to say again, thank you for having me, Ron. Thank you for allowing me to join your show tonight. It's so good to be back inside. I see a bunch of people saying, "Great show, Lance. It's good to see you again, Lance." Like,
yes,
guys, I know I'm not on DVDD anymore, but you guys got to check out the special quick videos that we do. Me and Eric, we do 3 a week, and they're fun. They're action packed. They're full. They're fast paced. They're there. But man, it is so nice to be able to sit back in the saddle and get on a live show and interact with everybody here in our wonderful Mile High Huddle community. You guys are absolutely spectacular, showing up every single night. I mean, 140 guys, 140 people, not guys, 140 people watching the show tonight, at least on Facebook. I believe that's where that's at. Or if it's I don't care. You guys are awesome. And I miss this, and I hope to do it more often. And again, just thank you. I appreciate every single one of you, because without this, without you guys, I couldn't do what I do best, what we do best, what we do here at MHH, which is cover your guys' Denver Broncos. So you all stay safe and take care. We'll see you later, okay?
Yes, and again, Lance, thank you for hopping on tonight. It was great to talk Broncos football with you. It was always great to talk Broncos football with you. And tonight was great. And again, to all of you guys, from all the platforms, thank you all for tuning in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. And just to call out a few folks that have contributed tonight, we got Michael Davis. Thank you for coming in tonight. Lawrence Rivera contributing as well. Casey Nickel, and then Eric, and then Mike Ronquillo. Thank you all for tuning in tonight again. And enjoy the game tomorrow. Hopefully the Broncos prove us wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always rooting for a Broncos win, man. Always rooting for a Broncos win.
Yes, definitely. But it should be a good game tomorrow. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. Go Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.